Our prayer, here we are. Lord, thank you that you brought the Holy of Holies to us through your Son, Jesus. Thank you that we can meet with you, Lord God. Thank you that you will speak to us, that you will minister to us, Lord God. Thank you for loving us. Father, now as we open up our Bibles, we pray, Holy Spirit, as always, that you would open up our hearts and our ears, our eyes, our understanding, and that today you would speak to us, Lord God, that today you'd show us great and mighty things from your word. And as always, Lord, we'll be very quick and very careful to give you all the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and together we all would say,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated this morning. Praise the Lord. Good to have you in the house of God. Amen. Before we get into our study, I just want to take a moment to personally, on behalf of Kelly and I, thank you guys for your prayers. If you hadn't heard, we were broken into Friday, not the church, our house, and a lot of people have been asking about that. And we lost a lot of stuff, but it was just stuff, right? But it was my stuff. That's what made me mad. I thought I was all holy and righteous. Oh, just stuff. Yeah, it was my stuff. But appreciate you guys' prayer on that. I got a call this morning. No trains were involved. Left my trains alone. But I got a call this morning. They recovered the Camaro. We don't know what kind of condition it's in. Amen, right? Right? So, if it's in too bad a shape, I'm going to have to, you know, get a Corvette. So you got to look at these things, right? You got to look at these things as opportunities. So, but seriously, not to make light of it, thank you all for your prayers, your concern. Many of you have contacted us about it and given us your support. Thank you so much for that. So we do appreciate that. Hey, we're studying. We're in our Bibles. We're in the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 28 and 29 today as we're going through. Been a fascinating study. We're looking at really the comparison between King David in this part of the history of the Bible. He is on the run from Saul. We're also looking at Saul, who's just gone crazy seeking and hunting down David. We see that all these problems are happening. So today I've got two titles for our study as we look into chapters 28 and 29. I'll let you decide what title you want. The first title today that I'm going on is the high price or the high cost of compromise. The high price or the high cost of compromise. Compromise is a very dangerous thing for the Christian, right? And we'll talk about that today. The high price or the high cost of compromise. Or title B, you might like this, in the time of year we're in, the danger of dealing with demons. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Clay, you just asked us for trunk or treat donations. And you're warning us about the dangers of dealing with demons. Well, let me explain that, because for a number of years we really wrestled with this whole thing. We do not promote Satanism. We do not do anything like that. But after years of really seeking God, how can we make a difference in this time of year? How can we bring a little light into darkness? And what should we do? And we're going to look at some scriptures today warning us why we're not to be involved. Did anyone read their horoscope today? Don't raise your hand, because you're in church and you're going to really be embarrassed if you raise your hand. But we're going to look at and talk about today why that stuff is not good, because it's all demonically inspired. I'm going to give you some scriptures in a minute. But so what? Why do we as a church get involved in this trunk or treat thing? Well, we also, with the board and leaders stuff and through much prayer, we talked about Paul. You know, he told us, make the most of every opportunity. And so we decided as a church, we're going to use this opportunity of Halloween to bring some goodness in, to try to bring a light into this, and to give not only our children an opportunity, but the neighborhood children an opportunity for something positive. You know, we don't do the evil, wicked stuff like that. We try to be a positive influence and let people know that we are here. We're servants of God, and we're here for them. Amen. So that's the story behind all that. But anyway, you guys got your Bibles open to 1 Samuel chapter 28? I want you to mark in a couple other places that we'll be looking at. If you will find and mark in your Bibles, please, I got them up here. Deuteronomy chapter 18 we'll be looking at, and Luke's Gospel chapter 16 we'll be looking at, depending on how far we get. But I've got a really good feeling we're going to get through both of these chapters today. So I know, you guys, I know. Do you have those marked? Not yet. I'm kind of going too fast for you. All right. But while you're opening those to that, I really can't read until you guys get there. All right, let's start in our text of 1 Samuel 28. And when we look at those chapters, if you haven't found them yet, I'll give you time to get there. I'm going to read the last verse. This is verse 12 of chapter 27, because this, of course, brings us into chapter 28. You got to remember when the Holy Spirit moved upon the men of old to write the scriptures, they didn't write them in chapter and verses. Man did that for identification purposes. So we kind of have a split here. Verse 12 says, "And Achish," this was one of the princes of the Philistines, who David had gone to. That was a bad move on his part. In chapter 22, God had specifically told David, "Do not go to the enemy. You stay in Judah." Now, things were going bad for him. He was scared. He was being hunted by Saul. And of course, he, like all of us, was trying to find some relief. But God told him, "You stay in Judah." We talked a lot about that. Judah means praise. We talked about even in our hours of darkness, in our times of trial, we are to stay in praise, right? We're to stay with God. We're to stay positive and all that stuff, right? But David went to the Philistines because he was afraid of Saul. And it says, so Achish believed David. David lied to him. And for 16 months, he was lying to not only himself about God not being able to protect him, but he's also lying to the Philistines. And it says, and he made his people Israel utterly abhorred. The king is saying he's made his people utterly abhor him. So he's saying the people who used to sing these wonderful songs of David no longer like David because David is now on our side, right? Therefore, he will be my servant forever. Verse 28, this gets us into our text today. It says, "Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, 'As you surely know, that you and your men will go to me with battle, with you and your men.'" I've written next to this in my Bible is the chickens come home to roost. Remember this high cost of compromise. David has gone into the Philistine land because he's afraid of Saul. Now the enemies of Israel are coming together to attack Israel. And now Achish says, "David, you and your men, who were the elite fighting men of the day, now you have to come with us to battle your people," right? Friends, if I think I've said this a couple times in this study, and that is this: sin will always turn you on to your friends. You can't dance with the devil and not offend your own people. Now he's saying, "David, because of your compromise, you now have to go with us into battle." Well, this is upsetting, of course. So verse 2, "So David said to Achish," he gives him this not real answer, but it's kind of an answer. He says, "Well, you know what we can do." And Achish said to David, "Therefore, I'm going to make you one of my chief guardians. Not only are you going to go into battle, but I'm going to make sure you're around me to protect me as we go into battle, because you guys are just double tough." Man, these are like 600 Rambos. These are the top guys. Now we go, switch scenes, jump cut to Saul. Verse 3 is a scripture that we've read before. It says, "And Samuel had died." We already read this. "And all of Israel lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city." Now notice this. "And Saul had put the mediums," your Bible might say familiar spiritists, your Bible might say necromancer, "out of the land, and the spiritists," your Bible might say wizards, "out of the land." Now we're going to find out that it was probably because of Samuel. It said that Samuel had died and Saul had done all this. He ran them all out of the country. Why is that? Why did he do that? Well, let's look at some scriptures here. I have for the overhead in Leviticus 19:31 and 20:27 and 26. I put them all on one, and then we're going to look at some other scriptures. God is speaking. He says, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits." Again, I'm going to give you scriptures, but let me just lay this out here. First of all, the demonic world is very, very real, right? And God says, you're not to be messing around with them. Why? Because it's the demonic world. Taken from a guy who has had personal experiences and physical experiences with the demonic world, you don't want to be messing around with it, all right? And we're going to see in our text that these people who call up the dead seances and all this kind of stuff, they're not contacting your dead. They're dealing with demonic spirits, these familiar spirits. They will come to you in a familiar fashion, right? It says, don't go to them. Don't listen to what mediums say. Don't deal with familiar spirits. Do not seek after them. Notice this, to be defiled by them, for I am the Lord your God, right? When we mess with stuff like that, you are defiling yourself. And let me ask you this, right? Why would you want to mess with a familiar spirit with a demon when we have access to God? Right? We have access to the Lord. Then the next one, and the person, okay, you're not to listen to the people who deal with that stuff, but the person who goes to these, anyone ever call the 1-800 psychic numbers and all that stuff? Right? This is talking to you. Now, I have to admit, I'm guilty of reading the fortune in the fortune cookies. But if you're honest, you're not even supposed to be doing that. We're not supposed to be basing our life upon what the horoscopes say for the day. Right? Now, Dear Abby, well, never mind. Dear Abby's not around anymore, is she? I didn't think so. Anyway, the person, the individual who turns to a medium, who turns to a spiritist, who turns to a wizard, familiar spirits, to prostitute himself with them. Now, that's a spiritual prostitution. You're going after another spiritual force, not God. It says, God is saying, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. The Bible language, cut him off, that means to kill you. Right? So God says, number one there, you're not to listen to these people. And if you do listen to those people, you got two things going against you. Number one, you got God himself going against you. Number two, God says, I'm going to wipe you out. That's not good. Right? And then the last one there, chapter 20:27 says, a man or a woman who is a medium, now he's going to talk to the person who is the medium. You talk to, first of all, you're not to listen to him. If you turn to him, you're going to get snuffed out. Now he talks to the person himself. Who was the singer lady that turned into a psychic? Dionne Warwick. She couldn't even find her way to Phoenix. No, San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? I messed that whole joke up. Where was she trying to go to? Do you know the way to? Okay. I know I wasn't going crazy. But the man or woman who is a medium, who is a spiritist, who goes to Hogwarts, or who has a familiar spirit, you're messing around with this kind of activity, she'll surely be put to death. Now, it's not only going to hurt you physically, but eternally. You want to be hanging around with demons and familiar spirits? You can hang around with them all eternity, and you ain't going to like it. They'll surely be put to death, and they shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. They themselves will be guilty for themselves. Pretty stern stuff, right? Let's look and turn with me. I told you to find Deuteronomy 18. That's back towards the front of your Bible. While you're finding that, I'm going to tell you guys a cute little story. Mark and I were in Virginia City, Nevada, camel racing. This was back in the early 90s, right, Mark? And we were, you know, this is a great story. Cody was there. This is a great story. We go into it was a reproduction saloon, you know, it's like 1800s town. Yes, it was. And all the waiters and waitresses are dressed like gunslingers and stuff. And our waiter dude, he's dressed like this gunslinger, and he tells us very seriously that he was a reincarnated gunslinger. And Mark says, well, you weren't a very good gunslinger if they shot you now, man. You know? He got mad. And that was so funny. You guys got Deuteronomy chapter 18. Check this out. We're going to start reading verse 9. God is talking to us. He's talking to his people. He says, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, the application of this for you and I could be this, that when we're born again, when we walk into our new life as a Christian, you shall not learn to follow the abomination of the nations. We're not to be involved in the ways of the world. The Hebrews weren't to be involved in the things that the nations around them were doing. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. What a horrible way of child sacrifices. We have the horrible thing that we call abortion today, which is the exact same thing. And God hates that. You're not to be involved in that. Nor anyone who practices witchcraft, or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or sorcerer, or one who conjures up spells, or medium, or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Right? For all of those things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Friends, we cannot, as being a born-again, spirit-filled Christians, be involved in things that are an abomination to God. Because one of the two have got to go. Are you guys hot? Well, all the cold people moved to one side, all hot people moved to the other. You're fine. Verse 13 says you're to get rid of them. Verse 15, you shall be blameless before the Lord your God, for these nations which you will dispose, listen to soothsayers and diviners. But as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such to you. We don't have to seek out demonic instructions. The best thing, God has given us His Word. He's given us His Bible. He's given us the privilege of praying to Him, right? He says in verse 15, for the Lord your God will raise up to you a prophet like me. Now, of course, Moses was speaking of the Messiah, Jesus, but God still raises up. We have the whole Bible of prophets that God raised up. He's given us His Bible. We don't have to seek that stuff from the demonic world. We've got the Holy Spirit of God. I'll raise up a prophet like me from your midst and from your brethren, and you shall hear from him. And it goes on talking about that. Let's go back to our text in 1 Samuel. So Saul, when he was newly in his kingship, because of the guidance of Samuel, who was the last prophet, he got rid of these people who were practicing this stuff. And so he cleaned it out. Now back to our story, verse 4. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shushim. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. Now this is very interesting, because if you take a map, and I don't have one for the overhead, but if you take a map from that day, you will see that the Philistines are not right on the border of Israel. They have penetrated themselves down deep into the land of Israel. The question is, how could you allow the enemy to get that far into your place? Here's how the enemy was able to get that far into their promised land. Because Saul's attention was on seeking David and not on taking care of the Philistines. How does that apply to you and I? How that applies to you? You guys mind if I just get a little bold here? Right? How that applies to you and I is when we give our time and attention to the stupid stuff that don't matter, and we let the enemy grow and get stronger. Right? You know one of the number one reasons why churches split? It's not because of theology, it's because of decorations. Carpet color, paint color, that will split a church. Friends, that's stupid. Right? That's just dumb. And Saul was so focused on hunting down David, who was his friend, and was not an enemy, that he allowed the whole Philistine army to move into his territory. Friends, a lot of us, here's something, you guys will not know this person. They're from another church, but Thursday and Friday I'm dealing with a family, a young man, his name's Nathan. You can be praying for him. No one in here knows him, I'm sure, and knows his family. They're involved, their families are involved in two different large churches, one this side of us and one this side of us. And this young man got involved into drugs and activity he shouldn't be in. And he's under watch because he wants to take his own life. And these other big churches that the families attend and support wouldn't help them. So who do they call? Well, there's this nut on Jackrabbit. And I'm dealing with my own stuff, but you know what I do? I say, you betcha, we'll take care of this kid. Right? This kid wants to end his own life. But here we have people involved in stuff that doesn't matter. And here's a kid that wants to take his own life. And two churches won't help him? You guys would be surprised how many people contact Lighthouse because their church won't help them with something. Right? We get our eyes off of what's important, and we allow the enemy to get down deep and get a stronghold. Now, Israel's got the five lords of the Philistines in the heart of their country, and David's worried about a shepherd boy. I mean, Saul's worried about a shepherd boy named David. Does that make sense? You guys see where I'm going with this? So now Saul's like, oh man, we're in trouble. And now he's so far from God, he can't hear from God what to do. Look what happens here. Verse 5, and when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And check out this. Here's another spiritual lesson. You keep rejecting God, you keep rejecting God, you keep rejecting God, God's going to say, okay. Look at verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, that would be a personal contact. Nor did the Lord answer him by dreams, or by the Urim. The Urim was that device that the priests held in the ephod, remember that? Now, we just read two chapters ago that Saul killed all the priests. So now he doesn't have a priest. Nor by a prophet. Now Samuel, we just read, has died and they buried him. Now we do know that Samuel had a school of the prophets, but the Spirit of God wasn't moving in any of the prophets. So now Saul, he does what a lot of Christians do. He's using God as 911. Hey, now I got a problem. I need to hear from God. And God's like, hey, go call a witch. God's not answering to him. Once again, we don't have to look at somebody to hear from God because we've got the Bible, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got the ability to pray, right? Now that doesn't mean we're not to listen to teachers and preachers and stuff like that, but be very cautious of who you listen to. As I said before, just because someone has reverend in front of their name doesn't mean they're right on. Just because they have PhD at the end of their name doesn't mean they're right on, right? Just because they have a radio program or TV program doesn't mean they're not selling you a bill of goods, right? So you got to check it out. Got to check it out. But we've got the Word of God. Saul is now, he's desperate. God is not communicating with him. To me, that's the scariest part of this whole story. Verse 7, so Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. The original says, who has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium or who contacts spirits in Endor. Isn't it funny that the guys who are supposed to clear the nation of these people know exactly where one is? Here's another spiritual truth. You'll always find, there's always somebody available to help you sin. There's always a ship to Tarshish in the port ready to take the prophet away from Nineveh, right? You always find someone to help you sin. In 30 minutes, you can throw a big old block party and have all the neighborhood there. You advertise a prayer meeting for a month and you get 6 people. But I'm not going to condemn anybody. I'll let the Holy Spirit do that. They say, hey, we know this witch. We know where we can find someone. Verse 8, so Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes. He had to take off, of course, the clothing of the king. It is his law that they weren't to be there. And he went with 2 of his guys, and they came to the woman by night. You know, it's always funner to sin in the dark, right? And so he says to her, please conduct a seance. The original says, bring up for me a familiar spirit. Bring up for me the one whom I shall name to you. Verse 9, and the woman said to him, now, you know, she's like, hey. She says to him, you know what Saul has done, how he's cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. are you trying to lay a snare for me to cause me to die, to take my life? And Saul, this is amazing. So Saul swears to her by the Lord. He swears by the Lord whom he's trying to get rid of, that he won't kill her. He swears to the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And the woman says, okay, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. Now check this out. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. The original says she screamed in terror. A couple things here. Number one, that tells us that these people are fake, because when the real thing happened, it freaked her out. Right? She cried out with this loud voice, and all immediately her suspicions are confirmed. She turns to Saul and she says, why are you trying to deceive me, for you are Saul? And the king said to her, do not be afraid. Yeah, we got a ghost here, but don't be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit or a phantom. It wasn't flesh. Ascending out of the earth. He's coming up out of the earth. Now, we're going to notice a couple things here. But let me read this and then we'll talk about this. Verse 14. And he said to her, well, what is his form? What's this phantom look like? And she said, he's an old man and he's coming up and he's covered with a mantle. This is the garb of a prophet. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face on the ground and he bowed down. Above all hope, what he hoped for happened. And that was Samuel appeared. Right? And it says in verse 15, and Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Friends, I want to say this with compassion, not being a smart aleck, not being a joke, not being irreverent. Our loved ones who are in heaven, who are with God, they don't want to come back here. Right? Samuel says, you know, I got to, why are you disturbing me? Why'd you bring me from that? Now, turn with me, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Jesus himself gives us a little bit of a teaching here. Luke 16, and we're going to start reading verse 19. Here in the seance stuff, Samuel, it says, he ascended up from the earth. We learn, and this is what we're going to read here from Jesus, that before Jesus died and ascended into heaven, all of the dead, both the righteous and the unrighteous, went into the heart of the earth. And the heart of the earth was divided into two compartments, one called the bosom of Abraham, which was a place of comfort, and one called Hades or hell, place of torment, right? Ephesians tells us, you can write this down, Ephesians 2, I'll give you the exact one, tells us that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he took those on the righteous side with him to heaven. The Bible tells us very specifically that for the righteous, those of us who have been born again, to be absent from the body, that's the Bible's way of saying when we die in these bodies here, that to be absent from these bodies, we are present with the Lord. Okay? And so we have that assurance as long as we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Now, we do know that the unrighteous, those who die from this body without having received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they still go down into the lower parts of the earth, into what we call hell. Some people call it Sheol. There's different names for it. But we learn in Revelation chapter 20 that they will then exit that place and go into the lake of fire. Okay, here's the point I want to make. When we exit this body, you need to make sure you're right with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And he's done all the work for us. Let's look at some of this teaching that Jesus taught us in Luke 16. Let's start reading verse 19. Jesus gives this lesson, and it's a true story. It's not a parable, because parables doesn't have specific individuals. And there's a whole theology to this. Just trust me on this. Jesus is teaching. And he says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple. That was the color and the garb of royalty. So this was a big shot. This guy was doing really well. It says, and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. So he was very wealthy. Everything was cool. Verse 20. But there was also a certain beggar named Lazarus. Now, this is not Jesus' buddy Lazarus, who he rose from the dead. This is another guy. He was very poor. He was a beggar. And he was full of sores. This guy was in bad, bad shape physically and financially. And he was laid at his gate. And again, that was all the poor people, the lame people, mistreated people had was to beg. And his desire, verse 21, was that he might be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. You know, he was so desperate and destitute that he would just want the crumbs that the rich people, it was just waste for them. It says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, if you're looking for a Bible name for your dog, moreover. Moreover, the dog. Come on, you guys. It's like Isaiah's horse. You know what Isaiah's horse name is? Isme. Because it says, whoa, Isme. But point of this is the dogs who were in the Bible days weren't fondly thought of like they are in our day, but the dogs gave more compassion to this man than humans did. These dogs at least tried to treat the sore, right? The rich man just ignored him. Verse 22, so it was when the beggar died. Now, I believe this is still true. I hope so. He was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. You guys remember the old TV show, Touched by an Angel? The dude angel would take the people. I don't know if that's still the way God chooses to do it or not, but it's kind of a comforting thought, right? You know? But here they were still taken to Abraham's bosom, and here we learn a little bit more about it. The rich man, he also died, being an undertaker by trade. I say this jokingly, but it is in all seriousness, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but I jokingly say 6 foot of dirt makes every man equal. Right? They both died. And it says, he died and he was buried. He probably had a fancy funeral. He probably, you know, this was probably a big deal. He probably had dignitaries talking and all this stuff. Lazarus probably just had a state burial, county burial, right? Verse 23, and being in torment in Hades, this is the rich man, he fared sumptuously in life, but in death now he's in torment. You know, our world, our land, our people make a mockery of hell. We make a joke out of it. Friends, it's not something to laugh at or joke at. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be there. And he's in torment. And he lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham afar off. Again, the good side's called Abraham's bosom. And there he sees Lazarus in his bosom. Now, we don't know if people in hell can see people in heaven. It appears people in heaven can't see people in hell. Again, you have to talk to God about all that stuff. But here he does see Lazarus being comforted by Abraham. And in verse 24, he says, and he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Now, he calls him Father Abraham, so this tells us that he was probably Hebrew. He probably attended the temple. He probably gave his offerings and stuff like that. But it was all a show. It didn't do him any good. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He wouldn't give Lazarus crumbs off his table, but he's wanting just a drop of water off of the end of his finger. He says, I'm in torment in this flame. But Abraham said to him, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he's comforted and you're in torment. Let me make a little side note here. Your eternal life doesn't depend on the things you have in this life. It's a heart issue, right? If God has blessed you with riches and comfort and ease, stuff like that, praise God for that. If God has chosen for your life to have some difficulties and challenges, praise God for that. It depends on what you did with Jesus in your heart, right? I just want to make sure that's cool. But here we get this thing. Remember, the mediums and the spirits are calling up people from the dead. Look what the Bible tells us about that. And he says, and beside this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass there cannot pass, and those who want to pass from here cannot pass. Now, I don't know why anyone in heaven would want to go to hell, but I can certainly understand why people in hell would want to get to heaven. But there's a gulf fixed. And so he says in verse 27, "Well, I beg you therefore that you would send him, Lazarus, to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and that he may testify to them, lest they come to this place of torment." Isn't it a shame that in today's world, people in hell are more worried about people's salvation than people in churches? Right? We're so comfortable in our churches that we allow evangelism. I let someone else do that. You know what? People who are dead, hey, I got family and I don't want them here. You know, most of us don't want our family at our house at Thanksgiving. Not my family. But our eyes and understanding get open when we get to eternity. And he says, "I got brothers, and I don't want them to come here. Send Lazarus to them." But check this out. Verse 29, "Abraham said to him, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.'" What does that mean to you and I? They've got the word of God. Do you ever wonder, why didn't God send angels to come preach? It's not the angels' job. Now, in the book of Revelation, we're going to see that they do some work. But it's our job. We have the word of God. And if people don't respond to the word of God, they're not going to respond to a dead guy coming back. Jesus' buddy Lazarus, he raised from the dead. Right? He had to die again. Now, that's a bummer. Right? If I was that dude, you know what I'd say? I'd be like, "Dude, you didn't come to my first funeral. I better be seeing some roses at my second funeral, right? Not for this stuff." But you know what I'm saying? That's how important it is. It's the word of God. And friends, you and I have the word of God. And the lost world needs the word of God, because the word of God testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're chuckling and laughing, but this is actually really serious, right? And it's not up to the demonic world to teach the living world about Jesus. It's up to us. Let's keep reading here. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he begs. He says, "No, Father Abraham, if one goes up from them from the dead, they'll repent." Verse 31, "But he said to him, 'If they don't hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded from one who rose from the dead.'" There are some people who claim to have risen from the dead, and they write books and stuff like that. And I think some of them are very sincere, and some of them use that as an opportunity to witness. But that's not the primary way of witnessing, right? It's us. It's the Bible. So we learn, let me give you that scripture. We learn, because I get off my notes, Ephesians 4, 8 and 9. I don't have it for the overhead. I don't have it to turn to, but write it down. Ephesians 4, 8, and 9 tells us that's when Jesus, after he arose and he ascended into heaven, that's when he took the righteous dead from Abraham's bosom to heaven. And now we get to go to heaven. Isn't that cool? Very cool. I have one more scripture for the overhead. Isaiah 8, 19 and 20. I forget what it says, but I wrote it on my list. Oh, okay. God is talking to his people, talking to us. This is about the seeking spirits, medium stuff. "When they say to you," when a person's advice is "seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they did not speak according to this word," what word? The law and the testimony, the word of God, "it is because there's no light in them." The demonic world doesn't have the light of Jesus Christ in them. They might be very religious. They might tell you some religious things, but they don't have the word of God. Why seek after them who whisper and mutter when we can open our Bibles? Right? Isn't that cool? Friends, we're so lucky, so fortunate, so blessed that God gave us his Bible and that we can study it. We're kind of running out of time. Let's keep going here, because I haven't got to the second chapter. Probably won't. Verse 15, Samuel came up, freaked the lady out. Samuel wasn't a spirit she was familiar with. Okay. Another thing here, not to upset anybody, but this familiar spirits like to impersonate people. There are people who say, you know, my grandpa comes, visits me, and my mom comes, visits me, and stuff like that. That's not your loved one. It may appear to be your loved one, but it's a familiar spirit coming to deceive you, right? Okay. Can I tell you one more chuckle story? When I was in mortuary school, you know my story's good when I start off when I was in mortuary school. We had this guy who was really arrogant and rude, and no one liked him. His name was John. And no one liked him, right? He calls me one night. Remember this guy? He calls me one night, and he's panicked. Clay, one of these bodies is alive. Okay, that means less work for you. Right? Clay, you got to come over, one of these bodies is alive. So this funeral home was in an old Victorian house, great building in San Francisco, great old buildings, right? And the prep room's down in the basement, so we get there, and it's late at night and everything. He's all scared. Here's this big, tough dude of the school, right? He's hiding behind me. You go first. And so we're going down the steps, and the steps start creaking, so that's spooky. But there's a landing, and then it goes down to the prep room. Well, on the landing, there's one of those old-time bottle coolers with the 5-gallon bottles. That thing burped. John jumps. That's where the body is. I'm like, you dork. It's the water bottle, right? We figured out it's water. He's like, don't tell anybody. I told everybody. I'm still telling the story, right? The big tough guy was afraid of a little water. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this. Nothing at all. Samuel, in verse 15, Samuel said to Saul, why are you bothering me? I'm having fun with Abraham. Why are you bothering me? And Saul said, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me. The scary part of this isn't that the Philistines make war. That's what was troubling Saul. But friends, for you and I, the biggest, scariest thing for me is he said, God has departed from me. Let me give you a little word. The Bible assures us that as we draw near unto God, he will draw near unto us. The Bible says he won't leave us or forsake us. You might have wandered off from him, but he's got open arms ready for you to come back. Right? We just have to make the move. Our God is so good. He says, the Philistines are making war against me. God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, either by prophets or by dreams. It's funny he didn't mention the priests because he killed all the priests. Therefore, I've called to you that you may reveal to me what I should do. And Samuel said unto him, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and become your enemy? Oh, can you imagine him? God is your enemy. A lot of people do. Verse 17, and the Lord has done for himself as he has spoken by me. Once again, he says, God's word has come true. I told you what God's plan was, and it's happening. That the Lord has torn your kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Saul, for 12 years you've known this, and you've been fighting God's will, and now you're in this position. Verse 18, circle this one. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Now again, this was at the very beginning of his kinghood. His first battle was against Amalek. Remember, Amalek is always a picture of the flesh. And we will always be battling the flesh. And we've got to completely crucify it. Anyway, get the tape. I don't want to re-preach that whole thing. I'm already running late. So because you didn't do this as the Lord told you, this is the result of that. Verse 19, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel into the hand of the Philistines. I got to say one more point there. Here he told the king, King, because of your behavior, because of your sin, the whole nation is going to suffer. If you're the authority in your house, man, I'm going to talk to you. If you're fooling around and not being the man of God God has called you to be, don't be surprised when your family falls to the Philistines. And if that stings a little, let it sting. Get yourself right with God. Now, in some cases, the lady's the spiritual influence in the house, right? Whatever it is, let the Word of God convict you and you do what you need to do. Anyway, you're going to lose a nation to the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons, not just you, Saul, but also your sons, will be with me. You're going to die. You're going to be in the abode of the dead tomorrow. For the Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. And immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, and he was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had not eaten food all day. Now, you know, was he fasting to try to gain points with God? Or was he just so upset he had no appetite? Whatever, he wasn't eating anything, so his strength was gone, and he just collapsed at this news. Verse 21, and the woman came to Saul and said that he had severely, saw that he was severely troubled, and she said unto him, look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I have put my life in my hands, and I have heeded your words which you spoke to me. Now therefore, please, heed also the voice of your maidservant. I did what you said. Now, king, do what I say. Let me set before you a piece of bread, and you eat, that you may have strength, and then go on your way. But he refused and said, I will not eat. So his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he heeded their voice, and he arose from the ground, and he sat on the bed, and the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it. She took flour, and she kneaded it. She baked unleavened bread. So this was quite a process, but she fixed this wonderful steak dinner for him, his last meal. She made this beautiful meal for him, and he ate it. She brought it before Saul and his servants, and they ate, and they rose, and they went away. Please, real quickly, I'm going to read the entire chapter 29. It's not that long. It's only 11 verses. I'm going to say two things, and then we're going to close. So worship team, you can get ready to come up here. Chapter 29, then the Philistines gathered together their armies at Aphek in Israel, and the Israelites encamped at the fountains of Jezreel. And they're the lords of the Philistines. We learn from chapter 6, there are five. They passed in review by hundreds, by thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. We already read how all that was happening. Then the princes of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, is it not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days and these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me. But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him, so the princes of the Philistines said to him, make this fellow return that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him. That's the city of Ziklag that we will learn about more. Make him go home, unless they go out to battle with us and they become our adversary. They turn on us. For with what could he reconcile himself with his master if not with the heads of these men? Just like he took the head of Goliath to King Saul, he said he might take our five heads to King Saul, you know, and say. Anyway, verse 5, is this not David of whom they sang with one another and dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Isn't it amazing the power of a song? It was this song that caused Saul to chase David out. It's now the same song that causes them to save David. Isn't that amazing? Verse 6, then Achish called David and said to him, surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright and you're going out, you're coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not find favor in you. Therefore, return now and go in peace that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. So David said to Achish, but what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? Then Achish answered and said to David, I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, he shall not go up with us to the battle. Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning, at morning light, depart, go home. Verse 11, so David and his men rose early in the morning to depart in the morning towards the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Here is what I'm going to close this with. Verses 6 and 7. If you're writing notes, write this down. Worship, go ahead and come on up. I'm closing down. And that is this. And some of us need to learn this truth. It was David's rejection that provided David's protection. The lords of the Philistines rejected him and sent him away out of the battle. Friends, you might be experiencing rejection. Maybe it's from a loved one. Maybe it's from an employer. But what it could be anything. And I don't believe there's a greater pain than rejection. I don't think there's a greater hurt than being betrayed. But friends, I know that we can trust God with the big picture. It was because of his rejection, it provided his protection. Surely the Bible is true when it says, for all things work together for good for those who love and are called according to his riches. I don't know what good's going to come out of Kelly and I getting ripped off. We lost a lot of stuff. Not all of it valuable money-wise, but sentimental-wise, things from our grandparents. But we can trust God that something will happen. Right? It may be, we had some awesome law enforcement officers come out doing it, and they were shocked that we weren't devastated. Don't get me wrong, we're bummed out. Don't get me wrong. Right? But they were like, how can you not be just losing it? You know what? Because we've got a big God. And who knows what will happen? Friends, don't let your rejection stop you. Refocus, regather, regroup, and let God do his thing. Does that make sense at all? Hey, let's stand and let's pray. I went a little bit long today. But isn't this story fascinating, what David's going through? Fascinating. Read the next couple chapters and we'll finish up the book of 1 Samuel next week. What we're going to do now is, as we always do at the end of our study, is the worship team is going to sing us in a song, and we're going to open up the altars for prayer. Sister Lucy, would you join us up here for prayer also? Kelly and Lucy will be up here for prayer. The guys are going to join me up here. And if you have a need, if you need prayer or anything, we invite you to come forward. Love to talk with you, pray with you. And then when we're done here, we will close and dismiss in congregational prayer. Okay? I have gone late, so if you do need to go, feel free to, but just kind of respect what's going on at the altar. Just leave quietly. And don't forget, Tuesday nights we have Bible study. Ladies, tonight, 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary is your study. Wednesday night, Bible study. And this Friday is a home fellowship. This Friday it's at Alice's house. So anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for your good word. Lord, thank you for challenging us. Lord, thank you that we can trust you. Father, we thank you that we don't have to look for guidance from anyone, anything, or any realm, because we have you. Father, you've given us your precious Holy Spirit. You've given us your precious Holy Word, and you've given us the precious brethren. So thank you that we can trust you, that we don't need to look to ghosts. Father, would you help us to trust you when we're rejected? Father, your word says that the steps of a righteous man are ordained by God. Father, help us to realize that the stops of a righteous man are just as ordained. So, Father, help us to accept and receive closed doors and not try to kick them open, but to trust you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.